Welcome, everybody, to another episode of A Day in the Life of a Life Coach. My name is Mercy Maglino, and I'm your host and a trainer here at ICA. And with me today is Joelle Leiden. And Joelle was the star of our video that is on our website, iCoachAcademy.com. So, Joelle, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
So, have you gotten some feedback about your video interview? Are you ready for some questions and answers?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I've gotten some nice feedback, so that was thank you.
Good. I'm glad. It was a great video, and I really enjoyed getting to ask you some of those questions about, you know, how you work and what your days are like. Just for a little recap for others that may have missed the video but came along anyway, by all means, you can check it out. But we talked, Joelle and I, about her coaching practice, what she's done before, where she's going, the niche she serves, and how she came to coaching. So you can ask her anything about that. I'm sure she'd be more than willing to tell you about it. Who would like to ask Joelle a question or continue on the questions that maybe came up during the video interview?
What's the minimum time frame for this coaching program?
18 months for the certified professional coach.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing now in your coaching.
I'm actually pulling back from my coaching clients. I'm sort of winding down the last client, and I'm taking the summer off because I'm looking to get some clarity on the way that I wish to reach others and let them know how they can work with me and how I can work with them and how I can best work with them. And so I'm going to be really working on the business component because I know that I coach really well, but the business component is something that I feel I need a little bit of work on. And so I'm taking the summer to do that and then sort of wind myself back up for fall.
So, I love that, Joelle. Thanks for saying it because I think many new coaches especially appreciate hearing that it takes time. It's a process like anything else. You learn. You see the gaps in your learning and you go seek information to close the gap. Oh, what a joy it is to be in a position to be making a livelihood that allows us to do that. I wind down in the summer a little bit myself, and every day I appreciate it more and more. So thanks for that.
You know, I think it's just really important to as you begin your coaching practice, begin to sense where your strengths lie, and where there are the gaps. When there are certain gaps, you're not going to be able to reach the kinds of clients, or not the kinds, but you're not going to be able to reach as many people as you can because you don't know how to sort of verbalize that and market that into the world. And so that's my gap. And so if you can figure out what those gaps are fairly early on, then I think you have the ability to create a fairly solid business for yourself that can provide the kind of income that would support you and your family and in the kind of, you know, doing the kind of business that really is of service to others and fulfills you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so true. So you got into coaching from teaching, I believe, correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And to be quite honest, I still am teaching. I still do have the life coaching is something that is taking up more and more space and is allowing me more and more freedoms that I didn't necessarily have just in teaching alone. So I'm appreciating what coaching is bringing to me, both in terms of the sort of energetic exchange that I get from my clients, but also the monetary exchange. It's allowing me to do the kinds of things that I never thought I would be able to do before. So really looking to building that more and more, so that I can serve who I'm supposed to serve in the best way possible while supporting myself.
I acknowledge that and affirm that from the many coaches that I speak to. It's a beautiful thing that you don't have to. It's not an all or nothing, right? You can begin to coach from wherever you are. I hear in your voice it's not if It's when I do this in the way I want to do it. It's so clear that you are confident and that you really feel called to do this. So I want to appreciate that.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. You ready to open the lines here for others to ask you questions?
Oh, absolutely.
Jaya calling in from Singapore.
Hi, Jaya. How are you?
Good, thank you. Joel, just wanted to ask you, just to elaborate a little bit on what you mentioned. You talked about having difficulty making this into a viable business. Am I right to say that?
Oh, no. I'm not saying that I'm having difficulty. I'm saying that I have gaps in my learning.
But about some of the challenges you're facing, because this is something that that I've been thinking about, because I haven't started the program, and I am thinking about going into it, but I do worry about how to make this a sustainable one.
For starters, I'm going to tell you that it's when you can get yourself rolling and you're going full speed, there is no doubt in my mind that this is a sustainable business. For me personally, coming from an education background, business acumen was not something that I had. And also being a student, I like a lot of information. And so piece for me that I felt like I wanted to ensure I shored up completely so that I could take my business to the next level, because it was starting to grow really quickly. But I wanted to make sure that I was reaching as many people as I possibly could, because when I'm looking at my business plan, when I'm looking at my two-year plan, I'm looking at leaving teaching altogether so that this becomes a full-time gig, if you will. But I want to make sure that I do so sensibly, that I've planned it properly, that I've taken the necessary precautions and steps in order to make sure that I take care of myself, that I can pay my bills and my mortgage, and I have more than I need to be able to sustain the lifestyle that I've grown accustomed to having. And so, yeah, so it's not really about feeling like I have, like I'm not able to do this. I know I can. It's just needing to shore up those areas that I feel I need a little bit of more information, strategy, and practice. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, absolutely. Because I just wanted to understand what it feels like when you actually put it in practice and what are the challenges people generally face.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be different for each person. But for me personally, that is the area, as I'm really picking up speed, that I'm noticing I need to tweak and learn more on.
Question. It's wonderful to get in there. Oh, I can't wait to help people and to make a difference. But where do you begin? So you keep saying when I pick up steam, when I'm picking up steam, but I need to know where you started and then got to a point of picking up steam.
I started with my mouth. By opening it and letting everybody else know this is what my passion is and this is what I'm doing now. And so the word got out. And it's amazing once you start opening up your mouth and telling your friends and telling your friends' friends and their friends and you got your cards printed out, and if you see an open hand, you put your card in their hand and say, call me when you need me. That's how it happens. It starts one person at a time, but it initially starts with you just opening up your mouth and letting the world know this is now what you are doing.
That's well said, Joelle. I mean, people ask me that question all the time, and I would have said this exact same thing, probably not as eloquently, but yeah, I just, told everyone I knew, put in that mind space and that perspective of I'm here to help and I'm here to serve. I have a wonderful process and a wonderful desire.
Absolutely. And, the ICA program is so, so amazingly wonderful in that you cannot graduate unless you've had 60 hours of actual practice time. Mm-hmm. And so that allows you to build your confidence. That allows you to spread the word with your friends and say, you know what? I need to practice. Would you be my guinea pig? And just begin to even give them opportunity. Well, while you are learning, give them opportunities to experience your style, experience the way that you coach. And so just by virtue of having that in place and in the ICA structure, it becomes a natural way to begin to share with others what you are beginning to do, and for them to experience for themselves the genius of your coaching style as you begin to develop it.
You charge when you first started? Is that something you could share?
Oh, absolutely. In order to figure out how much I charged, I looked locally. I did a search. I looked at what were people offering locally. And it seemed like generally there seemed to be a pretty big range between $50 and up into the 300. I set a price at about $75. I felt that that was fair, and it was reflective of bringing to the table. My prices have gone up since, as my confidence level, as my skill level has also gone up. But that's how I started. I looked at what are some of the life coaches offering in terms of their, because not all coaches will have that price on their websites. But what are they charging locally? Sort of gauge my skill level and my, so that I can sort of be competitive with the market that's around me. But then I'm learning that, you know, the more you bring to the table, the more you can charge. So that can increase as your skill level increases and as your experience increases.
Program, yes? An online program or a classroom program?
It's online, but also telecourses. So you're actually on the phone.
Yep, and you're right. It's online. It's virtual with the support of a Learn site, which, you know, keeps all your textbooks, we call modules and things like that. And you come together with each other. Joelle was saying it's a great community. It's, you know, 90 countries that we have students enrolled and have graduated from. And so it's delivered in a online voice-to-voice delivery.
What is average completion time on that?
3 to 5 hours a week. If you have that to dedicate to it, you would be right on schedule to complete in 18 months. If you have more time, you can complete it in less time.
For the certification, are 60 hours over and above?
Yes, it's
correct.
60 hours of peer coaching. Like Joelle was saying, you coach other students and you are coached by other students that may be a little bit more advanced than you. And then, of course, part of the requirement is that you coach people from outside the program. And the whole intent of peer coaching is so that by the time you complete, you have a good amount of coaching under your belt, so to speak, and you've gained confidence and competency. Great part of the program.
Absolutely. I learned my own coaching style, and how I started and how I ended were two very different places, just by virtue of the fact that I had this opportunity to experience coaching both people that were outside of the school and inside the school, and be coached by them also. And in addition to that, during the courses themselves, there are plenty of opportunities to do coaching within the classes themselves. So
right.
You actually have tons and tons of opportunities to develop the craft, the art, and the craft and the science of coaching within the school itself. Really, you know, by the time that you graduate, you are leaving, you know, you really leave with a lot of skill and confidence to be able to begin your own practice.
And you don't even have to wait till you leave. I mean, many people get started, you know, with friends and family maybe, and then it moves on to other clearly, you know, having coached 12 years or so, nothing replaces the not only the reward of coaching, of just getting out there and coaching, but nothing replaces the learning one gets and the application of the skills and techniques that we teach, like actually doing it. And, of course, it's like riding a bicycle in the beginning. It might feel a little awkward and formulaic, mm-hmm. but before you know it, you've integrated, you know, all your learning and in a wonderful dance of a conversation that's very powerful for somebody else. So, yeah, there's a lot of opportunity to coach. And to be coach,
right.
That's the other great thing.
What's the minimum qualification to register for a coaching program?
There is no prerequisite of education, just a sincere desire to learn.
When you first start being a coach, do you do it out of your home or?
Well, it depended on the client. Some clients really preferred to meet face-to-face,
mm-hmm.
and some clients it was much more convenient just to do it on the phone. So it was really client-led. So it really depended on their needs. So clearly they're local. It's very easy for me to meet with them. But if they were out of town or if they were across the country, clearly we Skype, right, or do it on the phone. Mm-hmm.
When you met with them face-to-face, was it in a particular location or?
You know what I found? I found that our local library has private rooms. And so it's free. And it was a great location for me to meet clients. And I could reserve the rooms ahead of time because I would know the appointments ahead of time. So I could reserve time to meet with them there. And so it really worked out. It's worked out to be a nice kind of meeting place for my clients. I've also met with them at places like a Starbucks. But quite frankly, it's very noisy in those kind of environments. The ability to create the sort of trust and difficult to sort of to work in those environments. So I really preferred the library because there was the ability to close the door and have a sense of privacy and create a really wonderful relationship with my client.
There's a variety of ways to people, for as many coaches, now coaches who are coaching through the chat functions on Facebook or Gmail, you know, it's all about what works for the client and for yourself and what you agree to once you get started. Suzanne has a question.
I did not have the advantage of seeing your video. Can you help me with that as to how I can go about that and looking at
it? I'll tell you exactly where it is.
My question is, how much of this training is your philosophy of what your training should consist of as far as life tools and beliefs that you have and all? And what is and what's the rest of it is the logistics of becoming a life coach. Can you help me with that?
You know, I feel like I need more information from you
okay.
with that question. Can you give me more information? What do you mean by that exactly?
Yes, when one signs up to take this training and begin and goes into the initial classes that I you take, is a lot of that, are you teaching a philosophy of life, your beliefs, what you believe would be helpful for people, or are you teaching how to be a life coach?
That you're learning how to be a life coach, and your philosophy, what you bring to the table, creates your own unique coaching style. ICA
okay.
does not dictate how that needs to happen for you. You will discover that through the process of learning how to coach and as you coach others. So ICA does
yes.
not dictate one way of doing things.
And let me just add that we examine, as part of the process, to professionally develop as a coach, you have to professionally develop as a person. And so
yes.
everything we believe, our points of view, our perspectives are explored, invited, shared, because they do enter into the coaching process, even if it's simply to release our judgments or to remain objective in service to our client.
Right.
The tools, techniques that we teach are in alignment with the International Coach Federation, which is the certifying body internationally. So
yes.
our core competencies line up with their requisite competencies. So there's a universal way of defining what coaching is and isn't. And we teach to that as well as leaving plenty of room, as Joelle said, to develop your own process, your own coaching model, your own coaching structures, policies, and procedures.
Okay, great. I understand that. That's and there is probably on this website a great deal more of the logistics of how to go about taking this course. Is that true?
Sure, absolutely. And there's program advisors, and they could answer any questions that you might have.
Okay, good. All right. And as far as then picking the area in which you would like to become a coach, that's available to take different classes, or is all of it covered in your general classes? For instance, if one wanted to specialize in helping people obtain goals in professional categories, that would be one type of coaching, and spiritual coaching would be another, and health issues would be another, right?
Right.
Yes.
Well, you know, that's a good question, Suzanne, and there's probably, I'm going to quickly and then get Joelle's read of it as one of our graduates. We have coaching groups that are based on particular niches like health coaching and professional or career coaching, and that is a group of professionals interested in that particular niche or target market, and you come together and you talk about issues, challenges, best practices of that coaching niche. Within the program itself, you'll learn how to apply all these core competencies of coaching in a myriad of ways, including the ways that you would like to pursue such a spiritual or professional. Joelle, did you want to add anything?
No, I think you've covered it.
Great.
I was particularly attracted, Joelle, to your description of you here, a life coach for women who are ready to illuminate their self-illuminating thoughts and resolves them for good. That's where I would want to be focused also. So.
Yeah, it's. I think Mercy had a really great point about so long as you develop, because this is a personal growth and development system.
Yes.
Hidden in a coaching program, because you're going to grow. Your edges are going to be pushed. You're going to discover things about yourself that perhaps you never believed were possible, you never knew existed. And in so doing, you then have the ability to do the same in a whole space for your clients as well. And so, you know, I can't say enough about this program. CA is a wonderful school that will be able to create the enough structure for you to then be able to launch yourself out into the world, but then also enough freedom for you to discover what is it exactly, what were you born to do, to serve, how do you want to use these skills to make a difference in this world. You're going to grow personally as well.
Well, I can certainly make room for that.
Mm.
A little growth won't hurt. I'm going to let other people talk, and I'm going to then investigate more about your actual programs. And so thank you very much.
Let us know how it goes.
Hi, yeah, I'm a graduate of about 3 years ago, and I have been coaching, and I'm still finding it a little difficult to charge for my coaching. And I did start out at a, you know, what I would call a fairly mid-range price. And I was just wondering a couple of things. I was wondering how many clients you have at the moment.
With teaching full-time, I've had, you know, 6 to 7 clients at a time. Doable, because I find, you know, mostly I can work with a number of clients in one evening. Like, you know, I'll have maybe two or three clients in one evening and 2 and 3 clients in another, or, you know, I may spread them out. Depends on what their needs are. But generally, I've been able to intensify my week, but 1 or 2 days of my week, so that I can keep my practice up. But I found that that works well for me.
Yeah, well, that's good to hear. I would say that's about what I've been doing. Yeah, and I was wondering, on your website, do you have a commitment from the people? I mean, do you say that you think they should be with you for 3 months? Or?
With something like that, we talk and I let them know that I will not work with them unless they commit to 3 months or more. And the reason for that is because so much change happens in a 3-month period. Unless I've worked with them before and they're looking for a jump start or some kind of a, you know, a quick laser coaching session, then I won't necessarily consider it because so for me, a minimum is 3 months and I won't consider anything less.
Yes. Well, that's exactly what I've been doing. I think that's part of our training too.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And then there's also the component that when you're working with a client, developmentally, things begin to really pick up speed around the 2-month mark. And
yes.
So, you know, it's really important to really lead them through to the end of the 12 sessions for them to be able to have an action plan in place and be able to send them out of the nest, if you will, with some tools and technologies and an increased sense of self-awareness and a sense of self-confidence that they can now apply what they learned through the process of coaching.
Yes, and may I ask you one other question? What is the longest time that someone has coached with you?
6 months. Yeah, and I actually absolutely loved doing that. And I'm looking for clients, once I'm done with my little 2-month hiatus here, I'm looking for clients who would be willing to commit for a year because I think we could move mountains in a year.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've heard of clients who stay on with coaches for years because their lives change, they have new challenges, new opportunities present themselves, and to have an accountability partner that's going to hold their feet to the fire as they begin to learn more and more about themselves, and as new obstacles show up, they find new ways and new technologies of addressing them so that they can really move in the direction of their dreams or their desires or their goals. You know, I think there's something to be said about having an accountability partner because essentially that's what we end up being.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Thank you. Hi. I'm exploring the coaching discussion, and I think we answered one of my questions already. When I look at coaching, I have always just assumed that the coach is a very neutral individual, and I was wondering how personal worldviews and values influence the way that someone coaches. And I think you answered my question in that what my worldview and values are will define what type of a coach I'll be, and it will be my coaching style, that I won't be totally neutral. Is that correct?
You know, I think people will be attracted to you because of who you are. So within the coaching process itself, to a certain degree, I am neutral, but it also depends on my client. I mean, some clients I can kind of get in their face and saying, and tell, you know, call their bluff.
Yes.
So I think we're talking a couple of different things here. We're talking about style and what you're bringing to this in terms of who you are and what you bring to the table, and that sort of creates your style.
Okay.
But then there's also the you know, do you bring your political views, your whatever views to the table? That's a yes that can be a yes, and it can also be a no answer because there may be some clients that we're working with whose views and lifestyles may be very, very different from our own and work for them really well. But I may not necessarily have, may not be able to relate to it in any way. So in those cases, absolutely, I'm neutral. And my goal is to ensure that I'm taking care of their needs, right? So if they're creating plans, they're creating, I call them technologies that work for them, like it's not even a concept in my own life personally, then I'm going to have them create what works for them, because in the coaching process, my life and their life are two different things, and what they do and what I do, what works for me may not work for them. And so my entire concern and focus is on my client and what can I do to best serve them for them to get to the goal that they have set for themselves. Mm. Does that help answer your question?
Well, I don't think there's a simple answer to the question. So each little piece of information I get helps me to understand I guess, and this does kind of tie into what I've heard through your coaching school, is that you're not teaching just one type of coaching style or one coaching, I'll say, worldview of coaching. And, you know, we bring to the table a lot of our background, interest, values, and such to create our own coaching skill or style,
right,
or whatever.
Because I wanted to just add, Joelle's does some Nia dancing, and so I think the dance is a good analogy here. You,
okay.
Joelle and I could stand up and say, we're going to do a tango. And
okay.
We both learned, you know, ostensibly how to tango, right? My style of doing it and her style of doing it might be a little different, even though to everybody looking at it, it might seem, you know, sort of together. But whatever background, personality that Joelle has will come into the dancing. And whatever mine is will come into the dancing. So it's a good analogy because coaching is a dance of communication. And, you know, we all, even if we've only sort of done the shuffle on the dance floor at weddings, we know that people, it's all called dancing, but it looks very different based on that. So if the coaching is a process like dancing, then who you are informs the process, but does not inform the client.
Okay.
So I am not giving advice or opinions, moral judgments. I am offering up perspective, objectivity, truth. As Joelle was saying, I'm going to be the person who says, well, wait a minute. Let me hear if I, you know, you said this, and then you said this, and there seems to be a contradiction. Have you noticed that?
Okay.
You know, I'm not saying, well, you know, put a judgment and say, well, I think that's just wrong. And there, or there's your problem. That would be, you know, a little more directive than coaching ever gets. Because it's like imposing on someone else my perspective instead of unearthing theirs and then inviting them to find one that's working for them or not working for them.
Okay, very good.
Beautifully
and
said.
I
understand it is a hard thing to articulate, and it is a hard thing to understand that there, you know, if you'll be in a classroom with 12 people from one end of the world to the other, like Joelle, people with lifestyles and experiences that are very different than yours, and you'll start to see that, you know, there's more that connects us in the coaching process than separates us.
Great. One question about the actual structure of the individual classes. I know that there's, you know, the website shows different modules, and then under that, different courses that you actually take or classes under each one of those headings. So how, and those are the things that there's online reading that we would do ahead of time, and then we have a conference call. How long are each of those classes? Are they 2 weeks long? Are they a month long? Do they differ depending on the class itself?
Each class is two parts, so that's 2 hours. So if you're learning what is coaching, part one and part two is 2 hours. It's offered in a rotating schedule. The schedule rotates. It's not like you begin a semester and you have to take, you know, this course at this time and this course. You begin, you know, in learning level one, let's say, and then you, you know, see what's available in a particular week. Our coaching modules can be done part two before part one.
Yes. Would you always stay with the same class for the part, you know, for those 2 hours? Would it be, is it 1 hour 1 week and then 1 hour another week?
You could do it that way, but many students don't. So you, you know, you find yourself in, you know, bumping into the same people in the hallway, so to speak.
Right,
but each class is different because people can enroll and begin anywhere they like in our learning, in our curriculum. Deborah, it honors that we are all adult learners. You can read a module and hop into a class and be familiar enough to not only to learn but to contribute and share your own experiences and your learning.
Oh, I appreciate that very well. Thank you.
I did too when I came here. Yes, hi, Deanna. Go ahead.
Thank you so much, Joelle, for doing this. This is very helpful to be able to talk to somebody who's graduated. By the way, how long ago did you graduate?
Officially, August of last, September of 2011, so just under a year.
Okay. How did you balance taking the courses and working at the same time? How did you find the ability to do that? I mean, did you set aside certain days of the week, or how did that work for you?
Well, I tend to be an early riser, so that worked in my favor because I need to be out of the house by 7 o'clock in the morning. But given the kind of schedule that ICA has, there's usually a class offered at 5 o'clock in the morning and one at 6 o'clock in the morning. And so I could sometimes, I could shower the night before and get two classes in before I even got to work in the morning. And then I could I could take a couple more classes in the evening. So I really worked with my energy level and the classes that were available and the making sure that I was taking care of my requirements. So I really had to look at the whole picture. What are all the classes I need to take? When are they being offered? When are they being offered at that 5 and 6 o'clock time slot in the morning when I'm available? And then really planning my time out. So really what I did was plan. It was really a lot of time management for me. It required sitting down and planning out a schedule so that I could take care of my coursework, could take care of my full-time job, could take care of actually coaching clients, and then also my son because I'm a single mom. So and cooking and walking the dog and everything else and doing the laundry and everything else. But but really what worked best for me was just mapping it out week by week. So on a Sunday, I would commit to looking at what's the schedule for the very next week and then mapping it out so that I could make sure that I took care of my coursework and that I had my clients in place.
Yeah, it's very flexible. Unlike Joelle, I would be somebody who did like six in a day and then probably didn't do any for a week. Also, because of the flexibility of the schedule and the non-sequential nature of the when the courses are offered, you could take your 2 weeks vacation, come back, and not be behind at all. You know, again, some people look at what time they have and they say, hey, I want to graduate in a year, so I'm going to map it out so I can. Other people say, well, I'm going to go by what I'm interested in first and then see what I need to graduate. And yet, again, other people will do it on a very sporadic way given what work they have or how they, you know, how they learn best, what works for them, as Joelle said, her energy level and her time commitment. It is very, very flexible. It's really why I chose the program, because it really suited that. You know, I was working part-time and coaching when I joined ICA to train and get my certification. So I needed a program that, you know, not only was online, but was so flexible that, you know, if I had 3 days where I couldn't do anything, I wasn't going to get behind. Thank you, Deanna.
So some kind of coursework do you have to do other than the classes? Are there journals that have to be kept or papers that need to be submitted? What are some of the things that are required?
Well, under each module has questions that are really, you know, helpful to do. Sort of like homework really gives you a chance to reflect on that particular model, both part one and part two. And then you also have papers that are going to be due towards the end. You have, help me out, Mercy, I'm having a brain freeze here.
Sure.
We have the coaching model. We have to come up with a coaching model. We have to come up with a research paper. What else do we have, Mercy?
You create your own power tool, which is a way of taking two perspectives, such as trust versus doubt, and looking at the advantages and disadvantages of looking at the world through those particular lenses. Day to day, you read the module. There are reflections that you write about and post them on our forum. That's pretty much the homework or the field work. Then there is a research paper, as Joelle said, creating a power tool, creating your own coaching model.
Right.
Of course, peer coaching component. And then, of course, there's supervised coaching where you sign up. It's one of the only classes you sign up along with six of your peers. And a coach, a professionally certified coach, is your supervisor, and you coach for feedback and positive focus, and that is submitted as part of your requirements to graduate. That's done towards the end of your curriculum completion. It's all on the website, iCoachAcademy.com. But it's the top of the hour, and I would like to see if anyone has any other questions for Joelle, and we can then say a bit adieu. Aren't you a French teacher, Joelle, and didn't I just massacre adieu?
You did, but it was beautifully done.
So how, au revoir, is that? Do au revoir.
Au revoir is fine, and adieu would be fine, too. But yeah.
So anybody have any other questions for Joelle?
Yes. Hi, Joelle. This is Jane from Taipei.
Hi, Jane.
Hi. I commented on your blog. And actually, I wanted to ask you about your blog. I've been thinking about how to start a blog that is coaching. Like, how did you work through that process of, you know, like, when did you start that blog? Was it, you know, in the beginning of your ICA classes? Did you start it, or did you start another one, change it to one that fit your website? You know, how did you deal with the blog issue?
I started one that was specifically meant for coaching, but it morphed. As I morphed, it morphed. So as I changed, it changed. And so as I was learning new things, I was coaching and having my own ahas, the blog post started to change. And as I was developing personally, those blogs have changed. I know that for many people, they say you need to write in the third person, and I've basically ditched that whole idea, and I'm at the point now where I'm writing in the first person, but also third person. And so it's been a very long process for me. But I have really appreciated the blog. The one thing that I can say, if you're going to have an audience that reads your blogs on a regular basis, is to have consistency with it. For example, I recently, probably back in March, I decided to have my blog post come out every Monday. And so every single Monday, I have the Monday mind shift. And, you know, so I was looking to do something. So this is, again, sort of a marketing piece, but also to keep me blogging about things that I'm learning through my clients, learning about myself, and offering some kind of value for my potential clients so that they have something to look forward to. So it's been a really interesting process of, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm just going to do the blog posts for ICA exclusively. And then it shifted into making it more of a public blog, and then went from there.
Mm-hmm.
Does that
help? So you definitely. Did you change blogs entirely, or did you kind of keep all, like, I guess you changed blogs, right?
My initial ICA blog started as a WordPress blog, very simple and free. Then when I became, I had this big project that I started last year, probably, so it morphed into my website. And then when my website changed again, which is the current one that you see now, the blog came along with it.
I'm going to just jump in here and thank Joelle for her blog explanation. I think it's great. The idea that you can start somewhere and it takes you so many different ways, but the important part, Joelle, was that you started. So I just wanted to affirm and acknowledge that. I do want to let people know that I'll be hosting an ICA meetup in New York City on July 12th to be specific. If you registered for this call, I will be able to send you an email of the particulars for that event, should you want to come and meet some of our alumni and students and myself as a trainer. We even have some graduates coming in from Asia. So not for this particularly, but we'll be in New York. So I just wanted to mention that. Joelle, thank you so much. We could talk all night, couldn't we? Well, you can go to Joelle's website. Joelle, what's your website?
www.joelleliden.com.
Completes our episode of Another Day in the Life of a Life Coach, and we will be doing many more coming up, so stay tuned and check our website. And I really appreciate all your questions. Great conversation, guys. Wonderful, wonderful time. So thank you very much.
The conference is now completed. Goodbye. Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID, followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted.